Always appreciate Becky singing a song like that right before I got to speak. If you have your Bible, open up to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, I want to talk to you today about working with what you got, working with what you have. It seemed like here lately, I'm just going to share with y'all just what I've been studying for myself and the direction the Lord's been leading me in my personal life. Hopefully, it'll help you. There's been some things I don't like in my life, a lot of different areas, attitudes, relationships, ministry, family. You know, there's things I think in every area where that I'm not happy with, and I've been praying about different stuff or complaining. And one of the things the Lord brought to my mind was, if you don't like it, change it. If you don't like it, change it. And you know, honestly, repentance, the word repentance is all about a change of mind, a change of that leads to a change of direction in your life. And it's not always necessarily dealing with just sin when you think about repentance. And then, like I said, I'm gonna chase rabbit a little bit this morning. Because it's funny how God works to answer your prayers. And then you look up down the line, you wonder what God was doing. You look and go, well, he was just answering my prayer. Well, anyhow, you know, when you think about repentance or change in your life, how many of y'all got areas of your life you'd like to change? You'd like to see change? Yeah, you know, I hope this is a very encouraging message for you. I think we all have areas we want to see better. Not that everything's bad. You say, whoa, you're not happy with your family. There's just things that could be better. There's things in ministry that could be better. There's things in my attitudes, boy, that could be better. I wanna be thankful, and I wanna live every day in a way that honors God. With my attitudes and my actions and my words. And so those things I've been praying about. And you know, in Romans chapter 2, it says, the goodness of God leads me into repentance. The goodness of God leads me into repentance. And one of the scriptures that just keep stumbling across it while I'm reading my Bible is, I come across it again this morning. It's in Psalm 106. It says, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. And so I want to, if you have areas of your life where you go, I would love to see some changes. And I want to say this. A lot of times we want to say, I want to see God change this. I want to see God change that. That might not be exactly the route to go about. I think we think wrong in some ways. Does God change? Yeah. Does God have the power to change? Yes. But I'm just going to share with you through what I've been studying this morning. Maybe he's already giving you what you need, and you need to do some changing. Amen. And so in this, it starts off with, I want you to see God's intentions towards us. A lot of times we misunderstand the Lord, and I think changing our view of God often is the first step of a life change. You know, God, I just want to get into the scripture. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let me say this. A lot of times when a person stands up here, it feels like you got to put on a production. I ain't much into productions, but it just feels like that. I would rather do a Bible study. I'm good to study the Bible. So this morning, we're just going to look at the Bible and let it speak to you. Starting in verse 26, it says, then God said, now remember, he's creating creation here, and he gets to the last day, and he said in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. Talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let's make man in our image according to our likeness. And then I want you to underline, if you have your Bible, let them have dominion. Let them have rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. I just want you to see the goodness of God there, how everything else that God said, it was good, and it was a, you know, but man was God's like crowning creation. He created man with to share his honor and his glory and his spirit and everything that God is a sharing God. He always intended for us to rule. You know, when you look in Genesis before the fall, you see God's intention to give man rule or dominion over the things that he had given to man. So he's sharing that with us. Because of the fall, some things changed, okay? But Christ redeemed us. And then when you get in the book of Revelation, remember we read last Sunday in Revelation chapter 5, it says, He has made us kings and priests unto our God. And it says, and we will rule. We will reign with him on the earth. Oh, and then in Revelation chapter 20, I think it's verse 4, it talks about those who are beheaded because they did not take the mark of the beast. And he said, I saw thrones, multiple, set up. Now, don't put yourself in the place of God's throne, but talk about stewardship, okay? And how God shares with us, all right? And that we're not slaves. That God's like, I'm going to give you dominion. I'm going to give you areas to where you rule, and I want you to rule well with that. But it says, I saw thrones, and we set up on, we rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years on earth. And so, when you look at Scripture, the point that I want you to get here is God never intended on us to be slaves. He never intended us to be enslaved to sin or to be controlled by and manipulated by the devil. That was not God's intention. God always pours out good for us, always had good for us. And so he creates man in his own image. And watch verse 28, it's a key verse today. He said, then God blessed him. God blessed him. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. And there's a word here that I studied this week, really, really powerful. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so when you look at this, you see God's intention here is that we have a place of honor and that we share in his honor. His glory comes in us, both in us and through us in life, so that we are a reflection of his image, okay? When you see God's intentions, you'll see, first off, he says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. When you think about your life, God's always spoke about, here a while back, you know, when I hear messages, they stick with me. You know, Mark, been about, 6 months ago, Mark preached out of John chapter 15 on abiding in Christ. And when you look where it talks about in John 15 about abiding in Christ, he said, you abide in me, you'll bear fruit. And then a little while later, it says, you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. So you see an increase. You abide in me, you'll bear more fruit. Fruit's good for the Lord. Fruit's good for us. That means our life is continuing to increase. God wants us in every area of good in our life to continue to grow, to multiply, to be fruitful. That's for his glory. That means we're living life to the full. So when I looked at this, when I looked at this word subdue, because it has to do with ruling, the word subdue actually in the Hebrew means fullness or abundance. Subdue the earth. And so here's what God's doing. I want you to look at when he starts off here, he talks about the blessing. God blessed them. Now, when God speaks, it's done. You understand? The word of God comes by the authority of God. It comes with the power of God. And so when God says, I'm going to bless, he blessed his people right there. A lot of times what we want to do is we want to ask God to bless us in this and bless that. And I just want to point out that God's desire is to bless us and for us to be a blessing. In every aspect of your life is good, okay? You know, rather than asking God, hey, God bless my business or God bless this, what you want to do is you want to just receive what God's already spoke over you. You know, in Numbers chapter 6, let me read this for you. I'm gonna kind of jump around. Y'all probably have to take some notes and go back and reroute this to get it. I'm going to give you some stuff to study on. But Numbers chapter 6. Say, what is God's heart towards his people? Now, there's a song I listened to this week. It's out by Kerry Job and Cody Carnes called The Blessing. Really awesome song. All it is this scripture. If you get a chance to listen to it, listen to it. But in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22... the Lord speaking to Moses. He said, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron. Remember, Aaron was over the priesthood. In the Old Testament, priests represented God to the people and the people to God. Okay, so when God speaks through the priest, he's saying, this is my heart towards my people. He said, speak to Aaron and his son saying,
This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel and say to them. So when the priest would go in, I don't know if it was every day. I hadn't studied it out that much. But, you know, at 9 o'clock prayers and 3 o'clock prayer, the people would all gather. And this would be a time where the priest would come out and they would speak the word of God. Okay? And notice what it says. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And that's God's heart towards us. Amen. If you ever want to know God's intentions towards you, I don't know, goodness, God breaks me. But I just go, it humbles me. But I just go, that's something I encourage parents to speak over your kids. That you transfer that blessing to your kids, you know, especially when they're little, you know, maybe like I say, you don't have to do it every day, but ever so often when you're praying with your kids, speak that blessing. That's the authority of God in their life to speak a blessing over them. Remember that, I believe it's around Deuteronomy chapter 28 through 30, now this is under the law, but he's talking about blessings and cursings. And he's like, if you live like the devil and you go against me and you go against my way and you walk in sin, blah, 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 these are the cursings that's going to come upon you. But if you keep my ways and you keep my word and you walk with me, these are the blessings. He's already spoken them, okay? It's not about your performance. This is about in Christ Jesus, okay? And he said, today I set before you, this is my point I want you to get, today I set before you cursings and death, blessings and life. And then he said, he gave you the answer to the pop quiz. Choose life. That's right. Choose life. God's like, I've already spoke the blessing for you. Not just your things, not just the things you're involved in, not this and that. God's like, you as a child of God, you have already been blessed. Just like he said, I've already blessed Adam. You have every, and it's what I want you to get. Adam had everything that he needed to bring fullness, to live as subdued means to full, and it means abundance. It means that he had everything he needed to work what he had to work with so that he would get the fullness of that and have fruit, more fruit, much fruit, things that glorify God. That means that you get everything you can get out of that thing that you're investing in, okay? And I'm going to give you some example of that so you can apply that in just a second. But here's what I want to say. If God's already blessed you and you abide in Christ, this whole subduing thing means that I take what God's given me, whether God's given me a life, like Becky was just saying, whether God's given me the day, whether God's given me in my health or in my family, God's given me a wife or a spouse, or God's given me a friendship, or God's given me a ministry. I mean, you think about all the goodness of God in life and all the good things that God's given us, okay? Here's what God says. I've provided everything that you need so that you can, when you work with it, it produces fullness. The fullness of joy. Remember what Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now listen to me. If you study the Old Testament, David didn't build the temple because the Lord said, you're a man of war. He shed so much blood that I'm not going to let you build the temple, but I'm going to let your son, Solomon, who was the wisest man, God gave him wisdom, okay? But David did what? David provided everything. He went out of his way to gather all of the material for building the temple, and it was there. When Solomon took up the throne and became the king, Solomon simply took everything. There was no lack. It was like, David was like, that was one of the ways he was showing his worship and adoration to God, was by giving and providing all this stuff. He wanted to build a house to God that was just glorious, that magnified the one God of heaven and earth. And Solomon comes in and uses the wisdom that God's given him, and he builds this temple that is just like, breathtaking. Nothing compared to it since then as far as architectural. And here's what I want you to see. That's what I'm talking about here, where it talks about God's giving you the blessing. In Christ Jesus, think about this. He has provided. If you've got something, you have a change in your life, I want this and I want this change. God has in Christ, if you're a born again believer, he's already provided abundantly, over, flourishing, everything you need to have what you desire as a child of God that pertains to abundant living, an abundant life, abundant joy, abundant peace, abundant marriage, abundance in your family, abundance in provision, abundance, whatever it is. God doesn't lack. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't lack. And everywhere you study in the Bible, God said, I'll give you good success. These are things. Be fruitful, multiply, grow. Okay? And the Lord's like, you're asking for something that I've already provided. What our role is to put it together, to work with what's been provided. It kind of starts off by going, God, thank you. You know, here's the thing. If I want my marriage to be better, I got a good marriage, but I don't want to just kick back, and because we'll look at that, just say kick back and let it go. Because when you kick back and you just coast, you know what happens? Nothing stays the same, and it doesn't continue to grow up, because now we have to war against thorns and thistles because of the sin fall. So if you want to continue to see a better marriage, God's like, I've given you everything you need to have for a better marriage. I've provided my spirit in you so that you have love to the full. It's just, do you want to activate that and engage that in your life? You have mercy. You have forgiveness. You have joy. You have peace. You have everything. You know, if you want to go on a trip, I believe, you know, God's will, you're walking with the Lord, God will provide different things for us. I'm not talking about being worldly people, but I am saying God's a good God, and he blesses us with good things to enjoy. The Bible teaches that. Nothing wrong with that. Y'all with me? And sometimes what I want to do is I want to go, y'all forgive me, I'm battling my nose this morning. What I want to do is I want to say, oh, Lord, please give me a better marriage. Please give me a better, fix my marriage. Or, Lord, give me a better relationship with this person or that person or a friendship. Or God, I pray that you would, I got this out, sister. Thank you, though. And I'm always looking to the heavens, and the Lord's like, why are you asking me? You want a better friendship? Show yourself friendly. That's right. You want a better relationship with your wife? Maybe you need to humble yourself, and maybe you need to show her more love. Maybe you need to show her kindness. Maybe you need to show her mercy. Like, where did I get that? It's called a gift of the Spirit. You've got it. You've got it. But so many of us are listening to the wrong voice, and we're not believing, because your life is basically built and changed upon what you believe of God and of yourself in Christ Jesus. And so there was no lack. He was fully supplied. Think about this. Man, I'm running out of time before I can get going good. We'll get into it next week if we have to. But think about it, in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, okay? Parable of the talents, he said, he called a servant together, he gave one five, he gave one three, and he gave one. And when he came back to call him into account, okay, notice that the one who had five gained five, the one who had three gained three, the one who had one didn't do anything with it. He hid it in the earth. He said, I know you're harsh and hard and all these things. So here's your gift back. This is what you give me here. But the ones who invested, God gave them 100% increase. They invested it. He didn't just go, okay, here's a talent. Here's what we do. God's like, here's a gift. Here's something that you have in life. Here's another. Here's my goodness. Here's a this. Here's a that. And then we sit around and go, okay, God, you know, I'm praying. I'm going to church. I'm doing my thing. What are you going to do? God's like, I gave it to you. Invest it. Do something with what you got. Work with what you've got. Amen. Don't be like the one who hid it in the earth and like, hey, Lord, I was just afraid of you, and I'm going to give it here. This is yours. He never even received it. You've received salvation. Work with it. You've received God's grace. Work with it. You've received God's forgiveness. You can forgive anybody. You understand that? You just got to enact that in your life. Engage it by faith. Faith is putting the supplies that God's given us through the Spirit into action, and we see the power of God in our life. Like, Lord, I just don't know if I can forgive. Quit saying that. How can you say, I just can't forgive this person? God forgave you. If you've received that, he's like, I put it into your account 100%. My grace is sufficient. Everything's sufficient. I've shown you mercy. Receive it. I think our problem is a lot of times, even as children of God, we just don't receive it. We don't believe it. We don't believe God can forgive us. We don't believe his mercy endures forever. We don't believe these things. So therefore, we have a difficult time pulling out of the supply to show to other people. Like, some of us need to go to the place and go, quit believing what the devil is speaking. You remember when the devil came to the garden, he had three things for people: disgrace, defeat, and death. And there's a lot of people that you're continuing to listen to the liar's voice in the garden, and you're living in disgrace, and you're living in defeat, and you're headed for death. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that's a carnal mind. You're listening to the enemy tell you who you are. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded. Spiritually minded means I'm going to believe Jesus. I'm going to believe in the power of his blood that we just sang about. I'm going to believe in the power of his resurrection in my life. I'm going to believe what his word says, that I'm a new creation. All things are passed away. All things become new, that I have life, that I am a son of God or a daughter of God. And I'm going to live on that and believe that, speak that every day. And I'm going to receive what God has for me. I am blessed already. I'm going to walk in that blessing today. I am going to be fruitful as I abide in Christ Jesus, not in myself, not in my flesh, but I walk with the Lord. Every day can be good. Every day I can overcome. You know what the word prosper means in the Bible? It means to overcome, to push through. And no matter what the devil brings against you, the Bible also says no weapon formed against God's people can prosper. Right. We're the ones who push through. We're the ones who overcome everything that punk brings against us. Right. And so in that, we should be probably the happiest people on earth. Do you agree? And we got to start believing that. Now, I want to get you this real quick, okay? Look in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Now, he created Adam. Eve wasn't around yet. He was fixing to blow Adam's mind. And then, excuse me. Y'all get that? Hopefully Facebook will enjoy that. Notice this. Verse 8. Oh man, you got to, again, I wish I had more time. Verse 7, he formed him from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into us. Breathed the breath of life into us. It's the only creature that was breathed the breath of life into by God. Verse 15, he created a garden. God created a garden. He put all the trees to eat. They were pleasant for food, sight, all this stuff. He well-watered garden. Now, I want you to understand that the Garden of Eden was a sanctified area. It wasn't the whole world. It was a garden, and it was specifically for Adam. Specifically, he planted a garden, and it says in verse 15, then the Lord took the man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden. Underline these two things, to tend and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat there you shall surely die. We can't get into all that this morning. What was the point of that? I can't cover that this morning. But my point is, why don't you go? There was no lack. He had everything. He had everything, okay? And then he looks up and he's by himself. And the Lord's like, it's not good for you to be alone. You're probably going to get in trouble. I'm going to create a woman. And when Adam saw her, he was like, wow, man. You understand? God provided. So this garden, if you think about it, if we were going to look at it and say, what does that look like in our life? The garden God has given you, he has given you dominion. Dominion means an area, or not just a geographical, but what you rule over, what you're in charge of, what you lead, inspire, protect. Men, you've been given a garden in your family. And so think about this. This garden for Adam, this is where God came and walked him as his fellowship with the Lord. It was his family. It was where he worked. It was every aspect of life, God's goodness in life. And think about this. The Lord told him to do what? I want you to tend to it. I want you to, that word tend means to work it. I want you to cultivate it. And I want you to keep it. That means stand at guard.
That's right.
Stand at guard. Don't let the serpent come into your garden. God warned Adam. He was like, you be sure. You don't let anything come in this garden that's going to ruin it. We need to listen to that and take note of that. Do some study on that for yourself. But here's where I'm at, okay? A garden, he told him, I want you to tend it. That means to cultivate it. Gardens have to be cultivated in order to produce fruit. Yeah. You can't just go out there, build a little fence, throw some seed on the ground and walk off. No more than you can just go to the church, get married and go on about your life and your marriage is going to be great. You can't just have babies and bring them home and go, all right, now we have babies and just let them go. If you just let your kids make their own decisions, I can tell you what decisions they're going to make. You understand? If we don't cultivate our family, we're going to see bad fruit or no fruit, or it's going to get choked out by thorns at this world. If you want to see it, you can't just say, hey, I'm going to go open up a business. And I open up my business. And you don't do anything, what's going to happen? It's going to plummet. When you open up a business, you got to cultivate and you advertise and you offer and you do this. And why? Because you're building a business. Nothing else is different. You cultivate churches. You cultivate ministries. You cultivate relationships. You can't expect to have a good friendship if it's one-sided. You know, sometimes you have these great friends. You go, I really don't know what happened. You know, we used to be so good friends and we're, you know, not friends anymore. Like, you didn't cultivate it. You know, if you don't cultivate your relationship with people, it falls apart. If you don't cultivate what we have going in the church, it falls apart. And so God said, I want you to, if you have a desire to see something change, you have to cultivate. Now get this principle. It's a biblical principle real quick. Watch this. What I desire is what I have to cultivate. So what part of life do I want to see changed? Well, I would like to, and this is just illustration, so y'all go loving on me. I'd like people to love me more. You know what I need to do? I need to show love. The Bible says what? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That means whatever I desire is what I need to show. That's what I need to cultivate. If I want peace with people, I need to cultivate peace. If I want love from people, I need to cultivate and show love to people. If I want happiness, I need to cultivate a positive, happy spirit and not a complaining, griping, bring out all the negative spirit. That's not going to produce what you're looking for. The change you desire is what you should show and cultivate and work. You reap what you sow. You don't plant a carrot seed and get a watermelon. Does that make sense? Remember what, it's either Luke 6:37 or Luke 6:38. Jesus said, give, watch this, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down in good measure, shaken together, shall men give unto you, overflowing. Say, give what? Oh, you're just talking about money. Shut up. Watch this. Give, and it. What is it? Whatever you give. If I give this, God's like, here's what it's going to return to you, hundredfold. God always overgives. We always reap more than what we sow. So if I'm sowing kindness, you know what I'm going to get? People are going to be overly kind to me. If I sow mercy, I'm going to see mercy in my life. If I show grace to people, but if I show judgment and condemnation and hate and spite and unforgiveness and bitterness and all those things, see how fast the negative comes off? You know what I'm going to get? Hate, spite, bitterness. It's all going to return overflowing into my bosom will men give back to me. So I just go, Lord, if I want to have joy, I want to share that with people. Well, some people, it's just hard. You ain't doing it for them, you're doing it for you. Be selfish, all right? I'm just saying, you can't expect for you to pray and God change everybody around you. God's like, I've already given you everything you need to be an influence, to inspire, to lead, to rule, and to change everybody around you. Y'all with me? That's some good marriage counsel right there. We're going to cut this short. I just want to give you something real quick before we go. Look in Proverbs 24. Young, study all that out yourself. Hopefully you'll get something from it. Watch this. Proverbs 24. Look in the last part of that. In verse 30. We're talking about gardens. Cultivating. Proverbs 24:30 says, I went by the field of a lazy man. So what do you mean a lazy? A man who does, he has the field. God gave him the field. At one point in time, we'll see he worked the field. And then he got lazy. By the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was. Watch this. All overgrown with thorns. Surface was covered. The surface. The good was still there, but the surface was covered with thorns, nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. You know, you can apply that to any area of your life. I went by the marriage of a lazy man. I went by the family of a lazy man. I went by the business of a lazy man. I went by the church of a lazy people. I went by the relationship, the fellowship of God of a lazy man. Something that once was, that isn't no more. Why? Because it's covered by the world. He didn't cultivate. What's wrong with this man? He got lazy. He got comfortable. Why is there so many divorces of people in their 40s and 50s? Lazy people who get comfortable, who let the world overtake their family and their relationships, and they think that it'll always be like it once was. The wall gets broken down. What happens when the wall gets broken down? The enemy comes in. And you look up and you go, how did that happen? Why don't we just own it and go, you know what? Because I got lazy. And this is not a marriage conference, but I just go, I stopped writing her notes. I stopped bringing him a glass of sweet tea. We stopped dating. We stopped talking. We stopped living it with adventurous spirit. We just went to work and we come home and sat in front of the TV and we were just lazy. And I looked up and the wall was broken down and the enemy came in and it's over. Come on. Are y'all with me? Amen. Same thing with your kids. I raised my kids up when they was little. We had them in church every time. Every time we had them in church. And as they got older, we got lazy. We stopped doing devotions. I stopped praying with my kids. I stopped talking about Jesus to them while we're out and about. We kind of slacked on church. We're here, and all of a sudden, they've been overtaken by the thorns and the thistles, choked out by the world. The wall got broken down. The enemy's got, how did this happen? We got lazy as parents. We get lazy. Are y'all with me? Now that's the negative part of it. So here's the thing I want you to get. Finishing up right here, and I'll get you out of here. Watch this. Whatever I let go will get overgrown, choked out, and fall apart. That's because I didn't keep. We have to tend and keep. Tend and keep. Sometimes we as men, we like the whole tending part. We work. But it says to keep, to guard from what the enemy. Now, think about this. If you go back in Genesis, in the garden, what happened? Adam didn't keep. He let the serpent in. The serpent changed their view of God, got their attention off of the Lord. He got lazy with standing in the word of God, and all of a sudden the enemy comes in and he totally crushes everything. Man becomes a slave he wasn't intended to be. Right. Now he's enslaved, like the Bible says, by sin. He is under the control of a maniac, and Satan is leading them down the pathway of destruction. What did he bring? Disgrace. They knew they were naked. What'd they do? They went for the first time and hid from God. Their view of God changed because of sin. All of a sudden enters in. Totally changes our view of God. So they're disgraced. They're defeated. And here's the good, they're headed for death. Here's a good thing. God came. You know what we're celebrating this month? God came. Emmanuel, God with us. And God came, and I love it because the first promise, the first thing he said is like, what'd you do? They said, and he's like, all right, here's where I'm at. This is a beautiful part of the message. Don't miss this because you're hungry. Get this part right here. To rule, when he said, I'm going to give man dominion. That word rule in the Hebrew means to trod on. Right. To trod on. Some of y'all already with me. You know what God said? Adam failed. I won't. He came on our behalf, and here's what he said. The seed of a woman will do what? Crush your head. And in Christ Jesus, everything that sin stole from us, Christ said, I've restored it. Now because of me, I have fully provided 100% everything you need to have life and to have it abundantly. And remember what he told disciples? You have the power to tread on the serpent. You have the authority, men, to keep him out of your marriage, out of your kid's life, out of your home. We're called to stand guard and to keep what God has fully restored us to. Amen. And we can live life and it can be amazing. And we don't have to be defeated and disgraced and walking in death and misery and depression and taking pills and drinking and doing all this crap to try to fix a spiritual problem with a physical answer. The Lord's like, I've given you everything you need. And if we would believe God and quit listening to the devil tell you you're worthless and God's so ashamed of you, all these things, like, the Lord came and went, y'all blew it, I won't.
That's right.
When he rose from the grave, and you know what it says in Romans, I think it's chapter 16, it says, in a little while, you'll put the devil under your feet. That's where he belongs, under our feet. And God said, one day you're going to rule and reign again. You're going to rule and reign this earth with me. And you're going to see your glory. And you're going to see the honor of God in your life restored. You don't have to wait till you go to heaven. You understand that the Lord says in Romans chapter 6, he said, you should not let sin rule over you. If you look at your life right now and you go, man, I got a lot of issues. I got a lot of chaos. I got hurt and division and confusion and depression. And I'm this and I'm that. First question I got for you is, do you have Jesus? Is Christ, has he redeemed you from the sin curse? You understand at the moment that you believe in the Son of God, that means I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, buried, rose again to show that he had the power and the authority to give me the gift of forgiveness and grace. And at that moment that I put my trust in him, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for me, that I have a gift of salvation fully 100% restored to God in my relationship, full of light, full of Christ, full of hope. And God's like, there it is, on your account. It's been accounted unto you righteousness. If you have that, if you don't have that, you know what? You're enslaved to sin. You're controlled by your flesh. You're walking on the road to death. You're condemned because of sin, because you don't believe. And God said, I want you to repent. I want you to change your mind this morning. I want you to change what you believe about Jesus. And I want you to humble yourself and receive the gift of God's grace and mercy today. And God will totally change everything in the days to come in your life. But if you're here and you say, I'm born again, and I know Jesus as my Savior, you're living a life of defeat because you're believing a lie, you got the wrong view of God, and you refuse to believe what God's provided for you in Christ Jesus. And if we would take today and go, you know what, God's given me everything I need to build an ark, I'm going to get to building it. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to believe what God says. I'm going to hide God's word in my heart. I'm going to receive each day the blessing that Christ has for me. I'm going to abide in him, and I'm going to see my life change. Don't tell me it can't happen, because I've already seen it. And I'm seeing it again in those areas of my life. Because here's the thing. It doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around who he is. And what we have to do is turn our eyes to the Lord and believe what he says, and what he says is true, and it will happen if you trust and follow Jesus. So you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. We don't need no invitation. You can deal with it in your own time, all right? But I do encourage you, if God spoke to you this morning, you need to make a decision. You don't have to come up here. You don't have to have a song and a dance. God's like, I got something I want to do in your life. I would just encourage you to humble and receive that, make the decision, and act upon that in faith. Father, I love you. Thank you for my church family here today. I thank you for your word, the power of your word that's backed by the resurrection of Jesus, that we are a people who are blessed, that we are a people who have a great hope and a future. Oh, Lord, that the devil can't stop any of that, God. We have the power to rule and to put him under our feet. You've given us so many things, guys. We look back on a week of Thanksgiving. Lord, a week ain't enough. A lifetime isn't enough to thank you and to walk in praise each day. And I just pray over this people, God, Lord, that they would receive your blessing. They would receive life. They would receive your love and your goodness towards them. Don't let the devil keep them from any of that. God, that they would realize your grace is sufficient. No matter what their past is, no matter what they have done or they're not doing, Lord, it's not about our performance. It's about what's already been accomplished in Christ Jesus. And God, that you would put a heart of thankfulness in us. God, a mouth of praise, because you're worthy of that. And each day we would choose. God, we don't have to give in to sin. Lord, we can rule over that in our life. And we can put it where it goes, God. And I pray Lord, that you would just raise up a people who truly believe in the power of your resurrection and your presence and your spirit and what you can accomplish in our lives, God. And we would begin to subdue and pursue that so that we can live to the fullness, so that our kids see what a marriage of fullness is, so that our sons see what a dad should be, our daughters see what a mom should be, what we can be, God. Lord, and I just pray you do a mighty work in this church. Lord, raise up a church that lives for your honor and for your glory 7 days a week. Lord, I love you and I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all.